You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So I like what you're going into cities. You know, you're talking about taking back the gates of the city.
Amen.
Because when Peter answered the question, "Who do you say I am?" he says, "Thou art the Son of the Christ, the Son of God." And he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." But the gates
of hell will not
prevail. Which means that if hell's going on in your city, then you can charge the gates of hell with Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
That power will defeat the gates of hell in your city. And that's a government of God being established, right?
Amen.
Talk about just charging the gates.
We've got to charge the gates. You know, when Jesus said that, He was prophesying to what He was going to accomplish at the cross. In Ephesians and Colossians, it teaches us that when Christ made a public spectacle of the enemy, when He went to the cross, He disarmed principalities and powers. Mm. Every weapon formed against the church has been broken by the authority of Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus is against Satan. Mm. The blood of Jesus is against the powers of darkness. The blood of Jesus is against the hordes of hell. And when we believe on Jesus, we are not dealing with an offensive enemy. Mm. We're dealing with a defensive enemy. Gates are defensive. They're not offensive. No one builds a gate to be offensive. They build gates to be defensive.
Right.
And He has gates around our cities. He's got gates around our communities. Mm. He's got gates around those that we're called to reach. Right. It could be your hospital. It could be your place of employment. Mm. It could be the individuals that you're called. And these gates can be stormed, but they can't be stormed by affection. They can't be stormed by an emotion. They can't be stormed by works or benevolence. Mm. The gates of hell can only be stormed by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross of Christ. When the gospel is preached, the gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Right.
The authority is not in what we do, it's in the message we preach. And that's
and
where
our faith.
And our faith in that message. Yes. Right. We gotta believe in that. We gotta believe in that to be true. And when we do, the power of the Holy Spirit flows through us. Because friends, we've not been left here to be reservoirs of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When we have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus said to Nicodemus, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Right.
So what Jesus does in us is He breaks the dam and lets the Holy Spirit flow through us.
Right.
So wherever we go, we have the power of God flowing through us, breaking the bondages of hell, breaking the bondages of sin, and seeing the gates of hell trashed and torn down, and seeing the neck of our enemies cut off, and seeing the chariots of our enemies get stuck in the mud. And God is training His church right now. And He's getting our fingers to fight and our hands to war.
Yes.
We are a military presence that don't fight with physical weapons.
But a
our
spiritual
weapon
war.
Is a spiritual war, and it's the message of the gospel. You see, friends, it's the message of the gospel. It's not what we do. It's not our acts.
Right.
It's the message that, and that's what baffles the world. Even humanists, they look at it and go, the message can't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelical church today is not really evangelizing with a message. They're evangelizing with deeds and acts.
Right.
And Jesus never said, preach the gospel and only use words when necessary.
Right.
No, He said, go and preach the gospel because the answer is in the message. If we don't preach the message, then we're emphasizing to our audience our works more than His work. And we get the people dependent on us more than dependent on Jesus.
Which is not good. So the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ, the holy blood of God that flowed through Emmanuel's veins.
Yeah.
And so the Lord speaks to me in dreams and visions. And this particular dream He gave me just a little while ago was a man of God was going to be on his back going through some situations, you know, recovery and different things. But as that was going to happen, the enemy was going to come in.
Mm.
And you know, spiritual, Ephesians 6:12 says you wrestle not against flesh and
That's
blood, but
exactly
against spiritual
right,
wickedness, powers, and principalities, you know, and that in this dream, I saw literally coming out of the wall, this person started coming out, and then it, halfway out of the wall, then it turned into another man, then it started walking a great distance across a big room towards this man that was on his back, and it was flattering, it was
going
like, oh, I really love the way you preach. I like what's going on, all this kind of stuff. But once it got halfway, it just goes, whoo! I mean, it was like that. It was like, I can't say it. It was just whoosh right on top of that guy. And literally, this minister was down. It was beating like an MMA fighter, beating. And I went, the blood of Jesus is against you. And
bang.
The blood of Jesus threw that man on the ground in his dream.
Yeah.
And he was still scarring, wanting to get back up again. And I kept on, the blood of Jesus is against you.
Yeah.
Think about this. The blood of Jesus took this demonic thing that was coming against this man of God, threw that demon to the ground, and held him at bay. But for some reason, we're preaching about some organization and some social justice, and we're forgetting about the power and the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Just this last few weeks, I haven't talked about this publicly just yet, but over the last few weeks, I've been doing a study on the blood. And in Leviticus 17:11, it talks about how life is in the blood. If we were to drain our human bodies of all of its blood, we would just be a sack of bones and organs.
Right.
Life's not in our heart. Life's not in our brain. Life's not in any of our organs. Life is in the blood.
Abel's blood still calls out to this day, right?
Yeah. And when Jesus shed his blood, he shed his blood to give us life, cleansing, renewing, powerful life. And when we preach the blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, given to all of us for life and abundance of life.
Right.
The life he's called us to is so abundant. It's so great. It's a river that flows out of us and can change communities. That's why it's the foolishness of the gospel. Billy Graham had it right. He preached Christ and him crucified.
Right.
David Wilkerson, many others. Our generation, the millennials, need a David Wilkerson, a Billy Graham. We need preachers. And I'm telling you, we need preachers that can preach the blood of Jesus again. Wow. That can preach it with
the
power.
The power is in the blood.
In the blood. Christ and him crucified.
Satan has to listen.
Yeah.
And so after, when I had that encounter with God, I began to pray the blood of Jesus over me, pray the blood of Jesus over people in our ministry, the things that we're doing. And in our church, praying over their family, their marriages. I mean, literally just praying the blood over this person, praying over that person. And then, so one of their sons who have been caught up into a life of darkness and drugs and just out there in darkness, all of a sudden, you know, out of the middle of nowhere, this whole demonic life just crescendos. And he begins to see just the manifestations of what he'd been following. And he's literally having these dark conversations and just everything, he began to see what he'd been tapping into for so long, and he ran for his life trying to find, because he's an older man now, he was trying to find, he wanted to go back to his father's house where he didn't want anything. So he goes, and his sister had abided with the Lord and left her Bible in the front porch.
Wow.
And so it happened to be out there. So when he comes that night, he comes in early in the morning hours and doesn't wake anybody. He grabs that Bible and he sleeps with it on the front porch.
Wow.
So in the morning, they open the door, they find, this is my son on the front porch. And so he of course, invites his sons in, starts talking, he starts telling him what's going on. You know, I've been in dark places, I've been against God. I want to get right with God. And he gives his life to the Lord at that one moment.
Wow.
And he says, you know why I came here? And his dad says, why? He says, because I knew the blood was here.
Wow.
I knew the blood was here.
Yes. Yeah.
When all the hell was coming against him, and he's literally talking about just deep, dark, demonic things crushing in on him, because he had given his life over to drugs and all this kind of stuff. And he, his only hope, he knew. I mean, even Satan knows better than the church. It's like the blood, he came right where the blood was applied.
Yeah.
And he got freedom.
Amen.
He was able to get free because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The power is in the blood.
The power is in the blood.
We're praying about everything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's the blood of God, right?
Yeah, the blood of Jesus. David said in Psalm 119, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn to depend on the Lord. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said in some of his last teachings was, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, Jesus said, this is the new covenant of my blood that was spilled for you. Affliction, you know, for those that are in affliction, I've been through my own series of afflictions in my physical health, in my personal health, and in my family, and many are going through afflictions right now. And we have a presentation of the gospel that's affliction-free, you know.
Oh, yeah.
5 steps to live affliction-free, 3 ways to get out of your furnace today, you know, how to live furnace-free for the rest of your life.
Right.
And the problem with that is, I hope that's true for the person that's preaching it, but for me, it hasn't been that way.
It's not true.
And maybe for you, it hasn't been that way. Maybe you've experienced.
In this life, you will have storms.
You will have storms. And so I want to encourage you that when you say the blood of Jesus, when you call on the merit of the blood of Jesus, what the blood accomplished, what it stands for, what right. it symbolizes. When you say, oh, the blood, I need the blood of Jesus, and everything right. that means for me, all of the promises that were wrapped up in that covenant of mm-hmm. blood, I want that. In that moment, what we're getting is the life-giving power, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. Mm. See, the Holy Spirit comforts like no woman, like yeah. no man, mm-hmm. like no one else. You know, for anyone that's battling with same-sex attractions, mm-hmm. here's the thing, friends, is that there is no woman that can do for your soul what Jesus can do for your soul. Mm-hmm. There's no man that can do for your soul what Jesus can do mm-hmm. for your soul. There's a heavenly man that can satisfy the soul cry of mm-hmm. your heart. When you call on the name of Jesus, you truly can be saved. Right. And this is a message that's all-encompassing. Right. This reaches homosexual, heterosexual. Mm-hmm. It levels the playing ground of sin. Sin is sin in the sight of God. Right. So when we come to God and we say, oh, the blood of Jesus, I need your cleansing, I need your washing, I need your renewing, what happens with that is the Holy Spirit comforts like mm-hmm. nothing else.
Right.
And it convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit will make the crooked man straight, right. the bent man straight, the sinful man righteous. Right. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and makes us who we were meant to be in the garden.
Right.
He restores us back into that relationship that we had with God and also with one another.
And so without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
So when this religious thing being the narrative over the world today, where they're removing the blood from the doctrine, from what's being taught, they're removing the ability to be forgiven for your sins.
Yeah, even in Genesis 1 or 2, remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God stepped in and they hid and then they came out? Yeah. The first thing that God did was take an animal
yeah.
and slay it and spill its blood and yeah. clothed Adam and Eve. But we see yeah. the first time blood being spilled
yeah.
because
yeah.
life is in the blood.
Yeah.
Just like what you said.
Yeah, it's in the blood.
Just like what you just said. It's powerful.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.